Thanks, Steve. Friends, let's pray. God, we ask that you would speak to us from your word this morning, that at the end of this year, as we launch into a new year, that we would be men and women who imitate Christ, that would be our goal, our passion, and that desire to imitate Christ, helped by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, would transform us and would ensure that we live for the causes that are on your heart. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Friends, our purpose statement as a church is up on the screen right there, just to remind you as we come to the end of the year. It is to glorify God by bringing people to Jesus and fellowship in his family, leading them to a Christ-like maturity, equipping them for loving service in the church and effective witness in the world. And I thank God that in 2012, we've seen spiritual growth. We started with the E100 series, where over 6 months, we got the big picture of the Bible and challenged each other to read the Bible on a daily basis. In Bible study groups and in sermon series, we understood God's big picture and God's plan. Hopefully, you grew through the sermons you heard, or at least some of them, through the home groups you attended and the courses you've participated in, and maybe one-to-one meeting and reading the Bible with someone else. We have witnessed through our school's work, our kids and youth programs, our camps, our holiday club. We have witnessed through our playtime and our craft and our primetime ministries. The gospel has gone out via radio, via our website, where many people log in each week and listen to our messages. The gospel has been proclaimed at weddings and at funerals, at the carols event recently, at men's breakfast and women's outreach events, at young adult events and our fresh outreach nights, and through our Alpha course that we ran for the first time this year. The gospel has been shared one-on-one with people through personal witness. This gospel has gone out through our Chinese ministry and our Macedonian ministry. The gospel has been shared with Wellington, the young children of the Wellington community, as our youth team went out there to run a holiday club for over 100 children in the September holidays. Even now, the gospel is going out through this church as members of our congregation are at Gerringong Beach Mission or Umina or some other parts. In fact, 12 people are down at Gerringong at the moment, sharing Christ with people. But it happens not only locally, but it happens overseas as well. We have missionary teams that are committed to the cause of Christ. They are supported by your prayers and by your giving, personal giving, our budgeted support through our own church budget, through our main mission appeals where close to $40,000 was raised. Lives have been changed in Lebanon, in Bali, at the University of Sydney, at Beverly Hills Girls High School, at Peakhurst High, in Senegal, through the CRAM ministry into high schools right through New South Wales, through the Gideon's ministry, in Mozambique, in Outback Australia, through YWAM teams in Perth and the teams that are sent throughout the nations of the earth, in high schools, through motor racing chaplaincy, and I can continue. At NBC, 17 people were baptized this year. 21 people became members of the church. We have demonstrated the love of Christ through personal caring, through prayer, through meals offered to people in need, through our food hampers. Many of you have sponsored children through Baptist World Aid. Now up to something like 70 children in Nepal are sponsored by people of this congregation. And many of you sponsored children in other parts of the world. Through our Christmas appeal, through the Operation Christmas Child, our target, something like 600 shoeboxes were put together for needy children. Through the Shum ministry to the homeless in Surrey Hills, we supported the Watoto ministry in Uganda through their concert earlier this year. Through Creative Craft fundraising for charities. Through visiting the asylum seekers in Villawood. And will you pray for Hayley Burns? Hayley Burns is about to go to Manus Island in PNG to serve with the Salvation Army amongst those asylum seekers living in terrible conditions in PNG. She's going in Jesus' name for a month. And just the other day, there were some problems there. Young girl, 25, 26 years of age, will go and serve in Jesus' name to be his hands and his feet. There's much to give thanks to God for, isn't there? And there is much more than that. I'll just quickly summarise some of the things that have been happening this year. And we give thanks to God for that. because God is at work in this place and through this place to bless others. But friends, if we want to become all that God wants us to be, God-honoring, Christ-imitating, Spirit-empowered, Bible-soaked, prayerful men and women of God who proclaim the gospel with love and grace, then we need to become more and more like Jesus. If we want to be known as a church that truly honors and glorifies God, a place where people get saved, a place where they experience love, where they are welcomed and cared for, where new people of every cultural background, every language group can come into this place and be part of a community of love and commitment to the gospel, if we want to be that type of church, a church that trains its men and women for the work of the gospel, a church with a heart for mission, a church that prays like its life really depends on it, a church of Christ-like servants, then we must. If there's one thing we must become, an increasing measure, is that we must become like Jesus. That's it. That's all you have to be. Just like Jesus. See him in his beauty and his perfection and his heart for the broken and the lost, and be like him, imitate him by the power of the Holy Spirit, and give your life away as he gave his life on the cross for us. Friends, ultimate fulfillment never comes through self-gratification, but by giving ourselves to God and to others. Remember Jesus' words in Mark 10? Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Christianity is about servanthood. Christianity is about being a slave of Jesus Christ. Christianity is about giving to bring out the best in others. Not receiving, but giving. As we saw at Christmas, God gave his Son as an act of love. God calls us to give our lives in the cause of the gospel. And that's why in Philippians, the passage that was read to us, it reminds us to imitate Christ's downward mobility. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Friends, the Lord Jesus Christ that we are called to imitate descended all the way to the cross. The one who was equal to God, equal with God, became a nobody. He left heaven, came to earth as a servant and as a slave because he looked at us and he chose to love us despite our sin and our disobedience and our rebellion. He left heaven, the beauty of heaven, to come to earth in order to bring salvation to us. And he kept descending. Omnipotent, he cried. The owner of all things, he had no home. The King of kings, he became a servant. The source of truth, he was found guilty of blasphemy. The creator, he was spat on by the creatures. The giver of life, he was crucified naked on a cross, bleeding, gasping for air. And with his death, his descent was complete. The one who created the world died on a rugged Roman cross to show us how to live as well as to purchase our salvation. The highest came to serve the lowest. The creator and sustainer of all things came to pour himself out. The one who possessed everything became nothing. But secondly, in his very descent, Jesus demonstrated his love. And Hebrews 12 verse 2 is one of the key passages we'll look at in our Resilient Life series. It says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. What do you do at the end of this year in 2012? How are you going to go into the new year? I want you to go into the new year with your eyes fixed very clearly on Jesus, right? The one who came from heaven to earth, but he's on this earth, he's living and preaching and teaching, and he goes to the cross, and your eyes are called to fix on him. Don't fix on your new career or on how much weight you will lose or how much you will exercise or whatever will happen in the New Year resolution. Make a resolution to fix your eyes on Jesus and to see him and to just appreciate him like never before. He is the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus looked forward. He said, beyond my death, beyond my suffering, there is joy, obedience to the Father, joy to all those who trust in him. He says, I'm going to pursue it. I'm going to be resilient. I'm going to go through what I have to go through because there is joy at the end. Fix your eyes on him. We've lost our brothers and sisters, many of them this year. But because we fix our eyes on Jesus, I can preach with joy at those funerals. Because we fix our eyes on Jesus, it's not all over. There's a life to come. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. It's not over. And therefore we must imitate Christ's downward mobility, verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Jesus himself said, deny self, take up your cross and follow me. Friends, and I thank God for the hundreds in this church who are serving Christ week in and week out, day after day. You don't see some of the people who come and mow the lawns or do the gardening around here, but when I turn up at 8 o'clock, they've been here for an hour or two. You don't always see the people who clean that kitchen midweek, so it's in a good condition so you can use it on the weekend. You don't see the people who sit in that office and collate the bulletins on a Friday. They come quietly, do the job, and they leave. You don't see the ones who deliver the food parcel to someone in need. But there are people serving all over the place. You don't see the other home group leaders running it in their home or the 40 or 50 homes that are opened up so people can gather to study the Bible each week. You don't see all the other ones, but people are doing it for Jesus' sake. You don't see some of the material that people create with gifts in knitting and that type of thing for little babies that are born. That I see come in and go out, little blankets for little babies. Friends, all over the place and through this place, God is working in and through you, and I praise God for that. But I was really challenged by a little section in this book called The Volunteer Revolution by Bill Hybels. Bill Hybels tells about being a young university student. Now he's in his 60s, I think, but going back a number of years, and he said they were being taught by a Christian leader about the importance of being a servant for Jesus, picking up a towel and just serving others. Don't expect people to serve you, but being willing to serve. And Bill said this, I didn't really believe that what he said would work. It doesn't make sense to be a slave and a servant, because in our culture, you need to be a leader, you need to have people follow you. You need to be up front. The whole idea that you were a servant and a slave, you see, it was against the way I thought. And our leader presented us with a challenge to our little group of students, excuse me, and volunteer leaders. He read Mark 8, 34 to 35. If anyone will come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. I thought, well, okay. And this was the challenge. For 6 months, he said, take the great gamble. Follow the model of Jesus with reckless abandon. Take advantage of every opportunity to serve, even if it means like something insignificant. Be the one who opens the door for others. Choose the back seat of the car so your friend can sit in the front. Take out the garbage, even though it's not usually your job. Volunteer to stack the chairs after the meeting. Take the arm of the elderly woman negotiating the stairs in the department store. Open your eyes. Keep your servant's towel handy. Monitor the condition of your heart week to week. Then ask yourself, am I gaining or losing? And if you want to, try it the other way. Every chance you have, put yourself in the center. Be demanding. Ask the world to revolve around you. Push your way to the front of the line. Disappear when it's time for the dirty work, the menial tasks. Bow low every morning in front of a full-length mirror. Then step back and honestly assess Are you becoming closer to God and people or more isolated? Is your life fuller or emptier? Do you feel fulfilled or frustrated? Take the great gamble. I challenge you into 2013, take the great gamble. What will you be, a servant? Or how do I say this kindly? Will you be full of yourself? It says, those of us at the core of that little youth ministry called Sun City, S-O-N, Sun City, decided to accept Dr. B's challenge. At the end of 6 months, we had grown from a few students to hundreds. More importantly, our hearts for God and the people had significantly enlarged. We were all working harder than we'd ever imagined we would, but we were having a ball. We were discovering skills we didn't know we had. We felt energized. We were seeing kids' lives change. We were deepening our relationships with one another as we served together day after day. Financially, we barely scraped through or together enough to live on, but we really didn't care. When someone's car broke down and they couldn't afford to repair it, we'd pool our money to fix it or pool our time to take them where they had to go. We'd stay up late talking with students about their spiritual lives and get up early to plan programs. A short night's sleep seemed like a small sacrifice. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life in all its fullness. We were finding that fullness of life as we accepted that challenge. 3 years later, Sun City had grown to 1,000 students on a simple foundation of faithful service to God and humble service to one another. The handful of leaders in the core of that youth ministry, who later made up the core of our church, had no seminary degrees, no experience in church planting, no money, no facilities, and no maturity. But we had one gutsy Frenchman challenging us to accept the fundamental paradox of the Christian life, that following Jesus into radical servanthood is the sure pathway to fullness of life. Sooner or later, everyone has to decide where to place their bets on life's great gamble. Where have you placed yours? On a self-centered lifestyle or on Jesus' model of servanthood? And where has it taken you? If you're not pleased with your answer, grab a serving towel. It'll be worth the gamble. Friends, that's Christianity. That's what God calls us to. Imitate the one who came from heaven to earth, went to a cross for us, and said, pick up your towel. You're a servant. You're a slave. Follow me. And friends, part of that following Jesus calls us to choose life out of the comfort zone. The Bible passage in Philippians 2 talks about Jesus becoming nothing, leaving heaven, the comfort of heaven, coming into this broken world. And sometimes we need to take risks for God. Maybe God's calling you to do something in the new year. Maybe you want to do something for God and you think you don't quite know what it is. Earlier this year, as a number of our members started visiting asylum seekers at Villawood, I've yet to visit. I hope to do so. It was a new experience for most. Two of our women are now running a children's program on Fridays as well for the children in that area. Others visit. But it doesn't stop there, because once they come out of the detention centre and accepted into the community, our Christian brothers and sisters continue to meet with them, share Christ with them, celebrate their birthdays, welcome them to this country with the grace of God. They run picnics together so they can keep in contact with these people that God has brought to our nation, that they would hear of Christ and of his love. There are grandmas or granddads who volunteer to help with our playtime groups. And there are opportunities there where you can come on a Monday or a Wednesday to help the mums or their dads with the young children to serve in that way. There are people who teach scripture in local primary schools. Then we're going to need some new teachers in the new year. So I'm going to take a group of kids, 22 kids, and every week, who can believe it, we still have this opportunity in Australia, right? Every week, you can go into a class with the permission of the government of this country to teach these children for 30 minutes about Jesus. Week after week after week, about 40 weeks a year, the kids who will not come to church possibly, her parents will not be here, but you're allowed to go into the school and they will come to your class and you can teach them the Bible story and the salvation through Christ. And some will serve on our welcoming team. Our welcoming team is not a handing out the bulletins team. It's a welcoming and incorporating team to connect people up. Some of you will join, are already part of Rotary teams or Lions clubs, or coach sporting teams, so you're out in that community engaging with people and showing Christ's love. Some of you will go maybe to Riverwood Plaza at Easter when we hand out invitations to our services or a festival at Riverwood or somewhere else. Or you might try something else. You may even try door knocking like we did a couple of years ago. Whatever God puts on your heart, we're asking people to say, God, take us out of our comfort zone. Help us to get nervous. I know I'm being stretched by God, you know when? When I pray more, my heart beats faster, your palms sweat a little bit more, because you know that is no longer in your power, in your control any longer. You say, God, we don't know what's going to happen here. God says, that's why I like it. Because you have to trust me, to step out in faith and do something. Take a risk. Join a short-term team, mission overseas, experience another country, another place. We're building a team to go to Bali in January 2014, and many of you are choosing to be part of that team. Support the Chinese ministry on February the 16th. We're running a New Year, Chinese New Year celebration with dinner and an evangelistic address in Mandarin. Sue Pick will probably need some people to help set up that hall. Cook some food. I can boil some rice. Whatever it is, and pray and invite other people to come. Maybe you've never been to a Chinese event before. You're allowed to come. You won't understand everything, but that's okay. But you're there to demonstrate the love of Christ, that we are a multicultural church, serving Christ, serving people from different cultures. You may choose to become a chaplain in a hospital, as some of you have done. Think, I'd like to visit people in hospital and get some training in that area. I don't know what it is, but are you going to step out of your comfort zone? Maybe one area. I challenge you, one area in 2013. Do something you've never done before. Go to Surrey Hills Urban Mission on a Tuesday night. Give sandwiches and teas and coffee to the homeless. I don't know what it's going to be. I'm not quite sure which one I'm going to do yet. I think at least Villawood for a little bit. Visit and see what's happening, what God is doing. Jesus got out of his comfort zone and he came to save us from our sins. Bill Hybels writes in another book called Descending into Greatness, comfort, the absence of pain, does not lead to fulfillment. In fact, it often works against it. There's an irony here. Positive change, spiritual growth, character advances, relational progress require pain, conflict, or tension as a kind of fuel for change. Athletes say no pain, no gain. Businessmen echo, no guts, no glory. Spiritually speaking, the same principles apply. We need to realize that the kind of life to the full that Jesus promised his followers in John 10, verse 10, is not found along the upward path toward the comfort zone, but along the downward path toward challenge, tough choices, painful growth, and obedience. You ready? A new year's about to be upon us. I know it's holiday time, you're just relaxing. You didn't want to really hear this morning. Just came, relaxed, sing a few songs, go home, because it's still holiday. Some are going to go on holidays tomorrow and you'll forget all about this, right? I'm going to go on holidays in another week's time and hopefully I won't forget this. What will 2013 mean for you? Friends, God's done some fabulous things this year. My life, your life, the lives of people that we meet. But God has greater things to do. God has greater things to do still in this community and through this community to the wider community and to the nations of the earth. It is my prayer that we together will become slaves of Jesus Christ, that we together will pick up that towel ready to serve and to wash one another's feet. Let me pray. Lord God, it is our prayer that you would speak to us by your word and your spirit and show us what you want us to do in 2013. It may be just what we've been doing this year. It may be, Lord God, a new area of ministry, a new challenge, something maybe risky, maybe we're uncertain about, something out of our comfort zones. Lord God, I ask that you would help us to encourage one another in these things, to stand together as your people, not to do it alone, but to know that we are supported by the church that we have here, that we work together in the work of the gospel. Lord God, it is our prayer that you would be glorified and honoured in 2013 like never before. That we would draw deeper into relationship with you, have a greater love and appreciation of what you've done for us in Christ, that we would fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, that we would not be distracted, Lord God, by the things of this world, but that we would fix our eyes firmly on Jesus, that we would become like him. We know that we become what we behold, and so we ask that we would behold Jesus and become like him. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Friends, can I encourage you to take out one of the response cards this morning? You have been asked a question, what will 2013 be like for you? Maybe an opportunity to respond now before Satan takes away those thoughts tomorrow or later this afternoon. What has God said to you this morning? Where will you serve? What will you do? And if you're visiting this morning, there is a visitor side. Just say, hey, I was here visiting, maybe just because you're with family, or maybe you're just in the area, or maybe you're looking for a church home for next year and you'd like to know more about our ministries and would love to talk to you about that. But if you take a few moments to complete those care cards, and that would be a great help to us. And just to remind you, as you're doing that, Pastor Nathan and Luke are away for another week on holidays. And Philip and I are around this week, and Robin's around, and Suzanne's back. And so any needs, feel free to give us a call. But we also want to pray that you have a great and God-honoring new year with your eyes fixed on Jesus.